Blog Talk Radio.
Live, busy sports night on Blog Talk Radio. Candid Frank Live, the National Lacrosse League Edition, with Aaron William Freeland, Gary Grube, sometimes Jared Harris, and Frank Stanishi. Tonight, there's a lot going on tonight. That's what tonight's all about. Tonight's a pretty busy night, and we watched a miracle take over. And the miracle was something really awesome. Hey, Gary, tell me what's going on in your life.
For our miracle game Saturday.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the
bleep out of here. All right. What does it take to get a home game in a playoffs? It takes the Bandits to fold up for 8 solid weeks and us to get onto a month-long run of wins. And then, in the last minutes of the games, to make sure that we have a home playoff date. Oh, my.
I don't know. I mean, it's the Ujiri principle, I guess.
Well, 3 weeks ago, we didn't even think we had a playoff game coming.
You mean when he said Brooklyn?
Exactly. F Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was one of those things where, I don't know, it just came out of nowhere. It came totally out of out of nowhere. The team that trade for the goaltender made the biggest difference that is possible. I don't even know what to say, guys. I mean, I'm gonna be honest here. I doubted the coach a little bit. No, actually, we doubted him pretty good. It looked like the team was just hither and yon, you know, not playing in one direction. I questioned the goaltending, as you recall, and not so much about the goaltender, but the defense, and they were hanging them out to dry, or the relationship between the goaltender and the defense wasn't that good. They make a trade for, you know, a goaltender and bring in another defender, and at around the same time, their top offensive player gets injured. Who the heck would have thought this would have happened? It seemed just everything was, I don't know, good news was bad news. Bad news was good news. It's been a strange, you know, month or so.
Well, we overlook one thing. The biggest silent thing to happen to the Rock was Cam Woods coming back. He was in game shape when he got back here.
He was pretty
he
much
is
in game
a leader
with
of leaders, and he entirely transformed that defense. Plus, it doesn't hurt to have a really big body to start banging around, too.
Well, we did say...
With the goaltending change, all of a sudden the entire defensive structure changed. They started challenging by the timelines, which confused offenses altogether, and in turn started to make a lot of loose balls going the other way. And the offense has always had a lot of scoring, regardless how many people we're going to be using, and things kind of fell into place there. And now nobody has a book on our offense because before it all ran through Garrett Billings. Now it's going all over the place, and it becomes a very tic-tac-toe kind of offense with very, very clean passing. So they have to start doing their homework now. So it makes Toronto a very dangerous team to play all of a sudden.
Well, also the fact that there's no more games to scout.
That always helps.
They don't have an opportunity to adjust, which I think is absolutely marvelous.
Which we all shook our heads when they put Rosen against Buffalo a couple of weeks ago. But why give Buffalo a free look at Miller when they don't have to?
Now, the other thing that I think I mentioned this last week when we spoke about this, I did mention that it used to be with the backup that we had, Boychuk, there was no real fear I don't think for Rose. I mean, if they pulled him, you knew that the person that was going in wasn't going to be as good as he was.
But he could open a fine gate.
Exactly. So, you know, there's no danger for Rose if he plays crappy because his backup is worse than he is. But you bring in Miller and all of a sudden it's like, hey, hey.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's game time.
And some of the players even told me that at the postgame party, too. They shall remain nameless because I protect my sources. But, yeah, they did. So I think bringing in Miller sort of served as a bit of a wake-up call for Nick. And that's a good thing because if you have these two guys going toe-to-toe, that's just going to be awesome.
Yeah, you guys still have a healthy competition in there.
Yep.
And I think also when everybody's heads up and nose to the grindstone, it kind of helps too. You know, one good lazy play leads to another. So whether it be from an offensive player, defensive player, transition player, or a goaltender, if the weakest link is weak, it's not good for the whole chain. So, yeah, I think they strengthened up their team. I think he got more serious, the coach did. And by that I mean he showed that he was being more serious. And I don't think the guys had any opportunity to misunderstand that maybe Buffalo's coach was succeeding in Buffalo, but the Toronto coach decided, you know what, we're going to get serious now, guys. All right? And nobody doubted him when that trade happened. And I really believe that was a key move and a brilliant stroke by the coach GM.
You know, I think a lot of people were breathlessly anticipating a move like that when it finally happened. Because I know that there had been rumblings that Miller was one of the guys that The Rock wanted to go after in the preseason to try to get him to sign with us.
Mm-hmm.
That when that didn't materialize, of course, you know, people understandably started to get a little bit nervous because they didn't perhaps have as much faith in Nick as they should have. I'm really glad to see that he can step up and prove people wrong. That's always nice. I always love being proven wrong by players. I honestly do. I think it's absolutely awesome when they can step up and do something like that and prove a windbag talking head like me wrong. So
yeah,
you know,
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing was also that Philadelphia knew they were losing Miller at the end of this year. And they didn't want him just to walk away as a free agent. They wanted to get something for him. And the couple of games he did play for Philly, about a few minutes here and there, really wasn't showing, which actually moved his value downward. So we actually got him for a song. We got him almost as good as if he would have gotten at the end of the year for nothing. And the beautiful thing is we got him here for the stretch run. And all of a sudden, he's lights out. There's some channeling of Whipper in there, and it's just, Jamie Dogg was saying that the game against Philadelphia, he actually had texted Whipper wondering if he had channeled some of his emotion over into the building since he was there signing autographs earlier, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, the temptation was to ask Whipper when he came up to the booth if he wanted to suit up for the night.
Wow.
I got to say I was admittedly a little nervous when I saw Rose staying on the floor after the warm-ups were done, but I thought, you know what? It's been a few weeks since his last start. Maybe the coaching staff have seen something that we haven't. Very obviously they saw something that we haven't because, you know, none of us have been to the practices. Turns out their hunch was spot on and Nick rose to the occasion and boom, we are where we are. So that and, you know, Buffalo folded like a cardboard suit, so that makes things even better.
Well, yeah, and when one part of Buffalo's the system works, the other part doesn't. And when the other part works, the first part doesn't. It doesn't seem as though they can get everything running on the same thing. Now, if I was the coaching staff, I would just put a little video of last year's overconfident thing against Minnesota. And just a little reminder that yeah, every game is got to be treated as serious as if you were playing for the championship because we can't have any of those debacles.
No,
Buffalo is going to come out firing. They are in the playoffs, and anybody can do anything at any time. So it's, take it seriously. Take it as a threat. Don't ever take anything as a foregone conclusion. It's all fine and dandy for us to joke about it, but you know with, you know, veterans like Tavares, like Steinhaus, Smith, and the list goes on and on and on, and Cosmo and Nett. You know that these guys are going to be serious about trying to knock us off our perch at home.
Oh, guaranteed.
Well, it's a great time to win, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then we can see how our new system would work against Rochester. But we got to get through Buffalo first.
Well, that's definitely the modus operandi that they have to use. It's the way it's got to go. It's going to be a great playoff, and you know, you've got Colorado against Calgary as well. We can't forget that. It'll be awesome, that's for sure.
No, most definitely. This is shaping up to be it looks to be a humdinger of a postseason. So
sure does.
I'm anxiously awaiting that, man.
Yeah, the next few weeks should be really, really exciting, and there should be an awful lot to talk about. So it's going to be a good time.
Well, we're down now to six teams. Yep, and after this weekend, we'll be down to four. And so I guess it's fair to say we're coming close here to the end of the season. So, you know, it's been, I think it's fair to say that it's been one heck of a season, to be sure, for a lot of teams this year, starting with Edmonton, who basically had a great run. They sort of stumbled at the finish line, and Calgary picked up speed. And I guess Calgary and Toronto are in parallel universes. You know, they're both teams that later in the season really, really started to play well and catch up on some teams that had quick starts. Obviously, the Buffalo start wasn't as quick as Edmonton's, but it was quick. And it looked like they were in a real good battle to be first. And it almost seemed as soon as they lost that ability to hang on to first, they ended up falling all the way down to third, which I found a pretty dramatic statement for a team, you know, losing its mojo, if you will.
No, most definitely. It almost seemed like, well, we can't hold on to first, but let's just try to squeak into the playoffs. We'll see what happens, you know? That's almost what it seemed like to me.
And it worked out that way.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, obviously the intention was for them to try to get another home game, but it sounded kind of doubtful, and I think we talked about this last week as well, when they mentioned that they were keeping the ticket booth open, but the Toronto Rock game didn't end until about an hour after theirs did, so...
Yeah, and like we said last week, what I thought would have been a great idea was to put the Rock game on inside the First Union Center, First Niagara Center, and they didn't do that either. So that would have been a good way to keep the people in their seats, and if by chance they happen to win, or you know Toronto happen to lose, they could easily have their booths open. But I guess that took a little more thinking.
Well, you know, sometimes the most obvious answers are the hardest ones to come to, and you have to kind of open their eyes to it, I guess.
Yeah, you know, well, that concessions would have been still going, and everything else. So you know, there's all kinds of things, and you had 19,000 at their game.
Jeez.
So there would have been a lot of people hanging around to take a look at this. This would have been the thing to do, since there was nothing else in the area.
Interesting side note, in Philadelphia, they actually had the Flyers game going on the Jumbotrons during the rain delay at the Phillies game.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty unique. I made mention of that also. It's a great idea. And considering it's just across the parking lot,
yep.
You know, you know, it's not just Xfinity that's going to get those games, so it was terrific. Great idea, and forethought is what terrific.
Well, I remember them. They used to do the same sort of thing for Leaf road games back when we made the playoffs slightly more consistently. I remember them putting up the away game after lowering the Jumbotron to close to center ice, and for a donation to the food banks, you could get in and watch the Leaf road games.
Well, they had a Jumbotron in '74.
No. They didn't have a jumbotron in 74.
Well, it was closed circuit then,
wasn't it? It's a lot later than that. If you really want to have a who's old competition, which I'm going to win hands down, back in the olden days, you guys probably know about it. I mean, you're not that young, but they used on College Street, there was a theater there, and they used to show the away games of the Leafs there.
Oh, nice.
And I'm talking the 60s.
Right.
And we used to drive by it all the time and never did get a chance to go in there. Of course, you know, the last time they won the cup, I was 13. I mean, I remember them winning the cup. But, yeah, the excitement in sports in a town, it seems new to us here in this area. You know, even though the Argos and the Rock have had, you know, wonderful seasons that have led to championships, the problem with both those teams is that usually the main media isn't watching or caring, you know, and that's too bad because it denied and it continues to deny the fans of Toronto, the excitement that happens with these kinds of championships. Now, in a selfish way, if you're a Rock fan or an Argo fan, you get to celebrate and it's your little secret that, you know, not many people know about. But you're seeing it here when the Leafs make the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're seeing it today and all week, the last 2 weeks, I guess, with the Raptors playing as well as they are and in the playoffs and leading by plus 10 at the half. You see the excitement that Toronto fans have.
They're at plus 20 right now.
There you go. So, you know, you get a chance to see what it's like to be in a city where your team wins more than it loses. And that's long before you get to the point where they win a couple of rounds like they do in Argo Land and in Rock World, you know. It's an amazing feeling, and it's too bad that Toronto is so surprised by how excited fans get. You know, I'm talking about the majority of people. Oh, wow, look, these fans are getting excited. What are they excited about? Well, for a change, their team is winning. And it's a good feeling for people.
I think a lot of the times, though, in lacrosse fans, we have to bear this in mind as well. We kind of get spoiled. Because we have had a team that has had as much success as it has, you sort of start to expect that out of the team. And that can be damaging, especially for a fledgling franchise. For example, let's just say, the Rock. When you the first two years you move into Toronto and you win two championships, it sort of sets the bar. You know, I've always hesitated to call it a dynasty, but honestly, that's what it was.
By Toronto standards,
by Toronto standards,
that's a huge mistake. You should be big. That's a huge mistake. Huge.
But, you know, I mean, with the Rock winning in 99 and 2000 and 2000.
Well, it was four of the first 5 years they were in, they won championships.
Yeah, you know, like.
And the 1 year they didn't win, they lost in the finals. So, really, yeah, it's astounding, really, if you want to talk about dynasties.
At that time, it clearly was. And you know, and the crowds were there from the moment the team set foot in the Gardens. It seemed like a marriage made in heaven, lacrosse and Maple Leaf Gardens. And I think a lot of people, and I've spoken to a few, they kind of miss those days of the Rock at the Gardens, the place where, you know, hockey history was made over and over again. And here come these young Bucks, the Toronto Rock, this lacrosse team. To Maple Leaf Gardens and show the Leafs how to win championships. I think at first it was like the opposite of what I just said, not the opposite, but what I said in a different way, where people were accustomed to watching championships being played at the Gardens for all those years, you know, decades before, and now here comes a team in to do that, and we get to go to the Gardens and celebrate a championship, and I think that had a lot to do with where they were playing. When they came to the Air Canada Center, it almost didn't seem like the crowd was. You guys tell me. You know, it seemed people were really into it when they were at the Gardens. Maybe because the team was new and they were winning so much, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm
asking.
Well,
it took a couple of off years of questionable GMship and teams that were subpar that chased chased the casual fans away, and it took Jamie to buy the team and put all that stuff back into order to start building back the fan base, because it dropped to about 7,000 or so, and it's made its way almost back to 12. So it's getting there, and it still looks like it's a hot ticket now. Now, if they can get an ad campaign worth something that doesn't preach to the choir,
with some good music,
maybe we have something. And I've been on them continually. I've been talking to Jamie. I've been all over the boards. I've been all over Facebook trying to show them. You need to have something that shows the excitement of the game, the fans having a good time, all the things that are going on, the quickness, the roughness, and put it in a 30-second snippet, kind of like the montages before the games. Take any 30 seconds out of those montages, and you got yourself a commercial that's viable. After the Rock won their game against Minnesota, the Rock have put a 15-second little snippet of the Buffalo game from a couple of weeks back on Facebook. All you had to do is, put that on TV, that little 15-second snippet. It had everything that I was talking about right there. It's not brain surgery, but it seems to be outthought and overthought to try and do this for an ad campaign. And, again, you're preaching to the choir when you're showing a lacrosse player on television spinning a stick. Well, we all know who it is. We all know what it is.
Yeah, meanwhile,
but the casual fan or the casual person who doesn't know anything about lacrosse doesn't have a clue.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get them because they don't know what the hell's going on.
I mean, you can call it the best ticket in town, and you can put in that pseudo, I don't know what the hell you want to call it, crap kind of music, that background theme stuff that they use. But, anytime I see that, it's like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. Yeah, I'm going to be there already. I've got my tickets or whatever, but I don't know. It's just frustrating to me because there's so many different things that they could do. Of course,
and they're already doing
their
other aspects. They already have these videos made. They just have to transfer them into a 30-second snippet for TV. And I guarantee it that you're going to get an awful lot of people going, wow, what is that? Wow, we got to take a look at that.
Well, the other
and
thing
even
is,
if you get another 100 or 200 or 500 butts in the seats, was it worth it? Sure it was.
But again, the issue comes down to, Gary, we don't know how much they actually have to spend on advertising. I don't know how much commercial spots cost.
But if they're already spending it on the spot,
yeah,
and they already have these videos made, it really doesn't take a whole lot for – you can get anybody at Ryerson who's in first-year film to splice these things and put them for TV.
And I'm wondering
it's not
going to
cost you an extra nickel.
It was already going on because I know that they mentioned that there were a couple cameras that were last game, but I think it was a Humber College project.
Right.
Because I know that they called up to Bruce and they said, look, we know there's no TV tonight, but we are still going to go with breaks at the 5 and the 10-minute mark in the first, in each quarter. Just because apparently Humber was doing something in there that night. So I'm not 100% sure what was going on there, but we may see something in the future.
Well, yeah, and see, when I talked to Jamie at the season ticket holder party, he said he had some things in the works of those things. Now, I'll take Jamie on face value because, we discussed the music before, and I guess he finally had enough, and the music changed. my ears are starting to love me again. So if he says he's working on something, I don't doubt him in the slightest. He's been good on his word on everything he said up until this point. So, we'll just have to wait and see.
Excellent.
Absolutely. All right. So, I don't know. Is it me or are they not showing the scores from last week?
No, they've gone into full playoff mode, which means they pulled everything.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have.
I had the good foresight to print everything.
Well, good for you, dude. But who cares? You know what? The league cares as little about those games that were just played as everyone else does now at this point.
Yeah, I know.
At this, Buffalo and Toronto fans were very interested in what happened. So, but what we can talk about is the standings. And, we'll wait to see if Rocco shoots his phone number up there. I probably have it. I just don't want. I don't like calling numbers unless people tell me that they want to be called. So, if you want to be called and you're listening right now and you want to discuss the game, the games, the season, anything at all, you're listening to Candid Frank Live's Lacrosse Talk, where we talk National Lacrosse League. The season is now over. We're at the point now where the playoffs begin. We have the final six teams, the first two games of the playoffs, which will set up the final series in each division, East and West. And, of course, the Bandits, darnation, they just dropped the ball, and the Toronto Rock were more than willing to pick it up and take over second place, which puts them at home this Saturday at 7 o'clock against those same Buffalo Bandits. While at 9 o'clock, I believe it'll be Eastern time, if not 9 o'clock Central time, the home of the Calgary team, and they will be visited by Colorado. And the Mammoth made some good moves to make the playoffs. You know, it wasn't one of those predictable years, but I don't know. I think things ended predictably. If you forget what happened during the season, nobody would have argued the positionings of these teams this year. What do you think, guys?
No, I think the West exactly fell into the way we were discussing. I think Colorado took a more strenuous route to get into the playoffs, but I believe those were the three teams we were talking about from week one or week two onward that were going to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I had the order wrong because I thought Colorado would have been a bit more of a juggernaut, but essentially we picked Edmonton, Calgary, and Colorado to get in and Vancouver to be on the outside.
Well, we can debate where they finished, you know, to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But really, truthfully, by the way the season played out, everybody got into a kind of position that we thought it would be in a circuitous route.
Well, I think throughout the league, I think the only team that we were off the money with was Buffalo. I don't think any of us thought that Buffalo was going to jump out to a start that they were. And I think nobody saw that Minnesota was going to fall down like they did. Other than that, I think we were pretty accurate with what we were saying.
Yeah, Minnesota didn't jump out of the gate, that's for sure.
No, they never jumped out of anything. They jumped off a bridge. But, again, it came down to losing a couple of really, really key players, and Benesch was the biggest.
Rocco, call 714-242-5250. Or Facebook me, and I'll call you.
By the way, if anyone listens, that 714 number you heard is the number for the show. So if you do want to call in, please do. We'd love to hear from you.
And that's 714-242-5250. Check it out. See, well, we just left a message for Rocco. I tried giving him a call. I guess that was you, Aaron, that posted that number, I take it. It was you. See, I thought Rocco did it, so I went ahead and called. We got voicemail. We got voicemail, which is cool. A great season again for Toronto Rock fans. For you guys in particular, it really looked like one of those ones. And I want to thank you for continually being here, even through the tough times. So I have to grant you a little bit of satisfaction, display of satisfaction. It was looking like a year that you want to forget. It almost seemed like an extension of the playoff game last year, against Minnesota. And they really, the boys really pulled it out, didn't they?
They did. When it was time, crunch time, they pulled together and they found a way to win. Now, it's a real nice Cinderella story if they actually are able to do something and ride the momentum and play the role of Rochester from the last 2 years. That would be the story worth speaking about. But for right now, they seem to be peaking at the right time, and it's only themselves that can stop them.
Well, they definitely, like you said earlier, are going to have to play well. Well, we can talk about the season and how things played out. It's crazy here. I'm looking at they half wiped out the season, Aaron, in the standings. They wiped out they wiped out the Eastern Division, but they didn't wipe out the Western Division. The Western Division is intact, so we can see how they finished their record, but we can't see the East and how they finished. They're in next year mode, if I can say that. And but anyway, I guess we've talked about that. Now let's well we haven't talked about Rochester and Philadelphia.
Well, they finished 14-4.
Team.
So
yeah, you know, Philadelphia came very close. You know, as one looks and decides, okay, they didn't make the playoffs. They came very close to, if they could have had a couple of better games, they got off to a slow start, and they paid for it drastically, didn't they?
Almost. They actually started out pretty strong, but they had a four-game losing streak, I would say just nearing the quarter of the season, and that put them behind the eight ball. But even still, the game against Toronto here, if they would have won that game, and you know, losing 10-9 is nothing to hold your heads down about. If they would have won that game, they would have had the hammer, and they would have had the tiebreak. So it could have gone a whole lot differently anyway. So it was neck and neck all the way through. And it's just lucky the last couple of weeks went our way, and Philadelphia, you know, once they're out of the playoffs, then they're starting to go into rebuild mode again.
Yeah, that didn't work out for them, that's for sure.
Well, it also didn't help that their goalie, Evan Kirk, came down with salmonella kind of sickness, where he dropped about 20, 25 pounds and was in the hospital for the last two games on intravenous. So all of our best wishes go to him for a very speedy recovery. But that didn't help the team at all, since with Miller gone, they had really nobody to go in net. So that was a double whammy there. They actually had Bill McGlone doing some of the goaltending duties.
This is what happens when you're a multi-talented player.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go to the West. And Gary, Edmonton.
Edmonton has shown signs of greatness for the last couple of years. They were the laughingstock for a number of years when they first came in. And what they were was very, very smart with the way they made their picks and a couple of trades. And a couple of years ago when they found themselves in the finals and everybody was scratching their heads going, why are they here? We know why they're there. They are they're probably the most complete team in the league, offensively, defensively, and goaltending. Aaron Bold set a record with the 8.5 goals against average this year. There's never been a lower goals against average at the end of the year. The defense is stifling because he faces less shots than anybody, because they're absolutely, you know, on top of anybody and in all the lanes. So they're just spectacular. They don't take a whole lot of shots, but the shots that they do take are extreme. They're dead pinpoint. And their passing is crisp. I don't ever see them making errant passes all over the place.
Aaron?
No, they like Gary mentioned, they are a team that has shown flashes of brilliance. They are a team that anybody who watched the game, anybody who's known the game and studied it for a while, could see this coming. I don't think anybody expected it to be as spectacular as it turned out. But, you know, this team has been built the right way. Bruce Irwin's definitely done the right thing in putting this team together. And they look to be a power in the league because they're young and they're fast for the next couple of years. So I expect nothing but good things for these guys in the future, provided nobody gets an itchy trigger finger and decides to pull it all down.
Yeah, I can't see them doing that. And they're starting to get a fan base.
Yeah,
they're starting to get numbers that are, you know, 8,000, 9,000, which in Edmonton is spectacular. So if they're getting that on a consistent basis, they're a very, very steady franchise for years to come.
Add in their partnership with GSP and with Ryan Smith, Captain Canada, and you've got something very positive going on there.
Yep. Somebody's doing their homework there, and it's starting to pay a lot of dividends.
So as far as I'm concerned, Edmonton is a team that came out in a rush, pun intended, They were roughed a little bit by the Calgary Roughnecks. And I got to tell you, they were a great surprise. And I hope for their sake they don't crumble like a, you know, like a Chiefs suit. I hope they play well when they show up in their playoff game, because for me it would be a shame, because they would be, you know, losing the kind of momentum and love by the fans if they came up really flat in their playoff series against whoever wins, Colorado or Calgary. I'm going to say that they're going to play well, and they are going to be in tough with Calgary, and I believe that you know, Colorado might take a bite out of Calgary enough so that Edmonton will have a better shot. Over to Calgary. Calgary's a team that, I guess, like I said at the beginning of the show, they're one of the teams that had a bit of a slow start and have built a momentum, you know, right through the whole season, to the point where, as we all are aware, there are two losses on the Edmonton Rush's side there, and Calgary made a decent contribution to that. And so, you know, they've done a great job in picking up the momentum. But it's not a surprise. Calgary's a great organization. You know, they're brother and sister with the – they play brother and sister with the hockey team, the National Hockey League team, the Flames. How about you, Aaron, Calgary?
I'm hoping that Calgary doesn't come out of it too banged up, or Colorado doesn't come out of it too banged up. However, the way this goes, there is a great amount of parity in this league, and it's absolutely awesome to see, because I hate the expression any given Sunday, but any given Sunday, anyone can win.
There's some truth to that, isn't there?
No, most
definitely.
What
you also got to remember is that in Edmonton's sake, they have two losses. One was to Colorado, one was to Calgary. So I don't know if they're wishing one or the other to play, other than they hope that they beat the crap out of each other in their one game this weekend. But, yeah, it's going to be a great game, because you've got lots of scoring on both sides. I think the edge in defense goes to Calgary, but their defense has been prone to take dumb penalties at times, which, again, would play into the Colorado thing. And goaltending, I think, overall, I think that the Calgary's got a better set between Scigliano and Poulin. But, again, one game, a one-and-done situation. If Colorado comes out smoking, then we might have a whole different ballgame to talk about.
Aaron, the Roughnecks?
I'll be honest, I'm liking them. I know they won the championship back in, what is it, 2004, right, Gary? When they won the title?
Yeah, 2009 as well.
Yeah, that's right. They are a team that can knock you on your butt if you're not careful. They're certainly physical. And the one thing that I know they'll have going for them is the fact that they're fired up, because it's another Battle of Alberta. And everybody in Cowtown hates to lose to the people from Marltown, and vice versa. So any way you look at it, this playoff game is going to be something spectacular.
That would also be – it would bode very well for the league if it's those two, because then the press will pick it up in Edmonton and Calgary, and they'll start making headlines. So that would bode very, very well for the league.
And headline – they would deserve the headlines. They have played. Both teams have played very well. They've done in box lacrosse a great service. For box lacrosse fans, they've been, to a degree, I think it's fair to say, Alberta fans have been spoiled. You know, if you turn the standings upside down, that's the National Hockey League standings. You know, so basically the reverse of what happens in hockey. Both Alberta teams are at the top of the pack, while both Alberta teams in hockey are at the bottom of the pack. And for those that are Calgary fans in hockey and Edmonton fans in hockey, I'm not going to argue with you about what their future's like, because to me, that's, you know, that's like grasping at air. The fact remains, the lacrosse teams have done well there, and they've played well, and they've done the cities proud. And again, that takes us back to what I was saying before. It is really nice to be involved with a winner. And I believe in Alberta, they're really thrilled with this, and I agree 100%. There's lightning in a bottle right now in Alberta when it comes to lacrosse, and it's going to be a great experience if Calgary can get past the Colorado. And like Toronto, don't underestimate your opposition, because you could find yourselves leaving your season behind a little earlier than you want. So, yeah, Calgary's full value for where they are. And I guess the best thing to say for them is their consistency has been fantastic. Now the team that made the playoffs, Vancouver, started off very quickly and quickly subsided, and Colorado was more than willing to take over and take over that third spot, that third seed in the Eastern Division. And Colorado, I think they were hoping for more. They will be a team, I think, that hasn't played its best lacrosse yet. And buyer beware, because this team can play a lot better than they played this season. And Calgary, I know, doesn't want to find out. How about you, Aaron?
Sorry, I'm sorry, Frank, can you repeat that? I just got distracted by something here. I apologize.
Okay, that's okay. Colorado and how they're doing.
Sorry.
This year, how they've done this year.
Colorado, slow start. You know, that was a bit of a surprise with the guns that they have on their team and the individuals that they had on their staff. I was a little surprised. I did notice, however, I think things turned around a little bit when they brought in some former Rock players as coaching staff. I'm really not sure if it was the fact that they were all former Rock players or if they all had a connection with the Mammoth, but the fact that they brought back those three boys, I think, provided a boost for the team and added a little cohesiveness to them. They finished out the season strong, which I was glad to see. I hate to see teams underperform, and Colorado was one of those teams, at least at the beginning of the season. So I'm glad they turned it around, and they should have a strong finish.
Aaron? I mean,
yeah.
Geez, Gary.
I agree. I say we all year long we're on it about how Colorado should be scoring more. Secondary scoring, you have for guys like Adam Jones, John Grant Jr., you have all these guys out there, but yet they seem not to be clicking, and there just wasn't enough going on. And in the last number of weeks, and I think the Edmonton stuff actually really put this team together, that they finished very, very strong and a cohesive team. I think that was the real settling thing. And I look forward to seeing what they're going to do. I think Calgary will take them to the woodshed overall, but I think it's going to be a little closer than what I would have said about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
That's been the story of the season. The predictability isn't there for the season. No one this season had so many twists and turns. It got off on a strange start with Buffalo running quickly out of the gate, and Rochester looked like they were stumbling a little bit. They were having a little difficulty, backing up their history, if you will, of winning, being the champions. But, man, I was really happy with seeing Colorado turn things around, because I happen to think that they're an important franchise out there out west. They're the only American team in the Western Division. And I'd like to see more American teams in the Western Division, in particular at least one more, to balance out the division and the league a little better. I think they were full value for their season. They did recover. And as I said, it's going to be interesting. So let's talk about the matchups more specifically, and we'll talk about the Western matchup first. We've got the Calgary Roughnecks and the Colorado Mammoth. This year, they've had a pretty interesting season. And to me, as far as I'm concerned, Calgary has the edge by virtue of some confidence-building wins with the number one seed. And, of course, they really have turned things around. And they have a really good record that would be competitive, with first place in the East. So, that in itself should be a warning for Colorado that they better be ready to play, because I believe that Calgary is going to take the game to Colorado. And Colorado is going to have to weather a storm early in that game. It's a one game. It's a one and out, boys. You got to play well in that one game, because that's it. And I happen to think that Calgary is going to come out in a rush, if you will. And I believe that Colorado, if they can overcome the early pressure that Calgary is going to bear on them, they'll have a good chance to win the game. How about you, Gary?
I agree. But the one thing we've been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks are faceoffs. And as long as Jeff Snyder is the faceoff man for Calgary and he doesn't lose his mind to get into a fight or two, I don't see Colorado winning many faceoffs. So right away the offense has the ball, and you start putting it into, you know, guys like Shatler and Dobby and things like that. Things can get a little hairy for Colorado if their defense isn't up to snuff and they're not into fighting for loose balls. So it depends on what kind of jump Colorado comes out with and how willing they are to muck it up. And they're going to have to get dirty in the corners and really, really start, you know, working the loose balls. And then transitionally, you know, try and get onto Poulin and trying to get into his head quickly if they have a chance to win this game.
Absolutely. Now, Aaron, you want to weigh in on that series?
Yeah, Colorado-Calgary?
You want to get it off your chest so you start paying attention to what we're doing here?
I'm really sorry, guys. I really am. I'm just sitting here gobsmacked because, you know.
Anyways,
it's a Toronto political thing. I don't want to get into it now.
No. We'll put out a news flash. That's all. Here's the news flash, Aaron. Aaron's been having he's just glued to a news story that's out right now, and that is that Mayor Rob Ford is asking for a leave of absence from work after another video appears with him doing drugs, and so he's asked for a leave of absence, and we'll leave it at that for now. And I think Aaron is one of those people, and I'll let you speak for yourself, and you don't have to get into a long tirade, but you can let people know. I think there's three words that you'd like to get out right now. It's about time.
Yes, that I think is the words I'm looking for. It's about time.
You see, folks, I'm not even talking to him about this. I'm not typing anything. But I do know how – I've known Aaron now for 2 years, and we've talked about this subject and many others, and I'm glad to know that I do actually have a grasp on my friend's way of thinking. And we'll talk about this. Maybe we can talk about this at the end of the show in overtime, just for the fun of it. Since Gary's really tired and he's got an early day tomorrow, so he'll probably be leaving us early. So let's stick to the lacrosse stuff for now, Aaron. See if you can separate yourself from that news that's just has you totally enthralled. So
I'm just trying to chew my way through that and chew through the fact the Raptors are spanking Brooklyn 96-82.
Okay, we just got through one.
I know. And there's three games.
And the Flyers just got eliminated, so maybe Rocco can be with us soon.
Well, I think he's on the web. At least that's what it's showing on my Facebook Messenger thing, so I don't know if he's at home or not. But
well, regardless, I put out the invitation. I was distracted, too, in the middle of some of these conversations because I was placing links on various websites that I normally do before the show, and I had a couple of problems logging on to the show. And it took me about 10 minutes to bring up the lacrosse webpage, which was really starting to tick me off. So it's been an interesting evening, and the world is sports heavy right now. You know, things like baseball are taking a back seat with all the excitement, at least here in the Southern Ontario market when it comes to sports. A lot of good things going on. The Jays are doing okay. The mayor is now taking a leave of absence. We've got election talk here like crazy. Lots of ways to communicate about lots of different things. So we'll go back to lacrosse. That news flash, we'll follow that up later towards the end of the show once Gary leaves early to rest up for a busy work day tomorrow. So basically, which, by the way, I was there today. I didn't see you.
He was sleeping on a pallet of kitty litter at the back.
Is that what was happening? Okay. He was probably... he was not. I wasn't at his store anyway. I was at another store. Anyway, the playoffs look really interesting, to say the least. And now we've got two teams waiting in the wings. We've got Rochester, waiting in the Eastern Division. Well, actually, we didn't talk about the Buffalo-Toronto series specifically as a series. Well, we've got Buffalo, of course, the team that came out of the gate very quickly, looked like they really had a shot, a handle. We all knew that Rochester was going to be there at the end of the day. But Buffalo was in there in real pretty at the early part of the season, and then the wheels fell off. And now they find themselves on the road against Toronto. I believe that they've got a lot to prove. And unfortunately, one of the things that you can't prove, you have to have, that's confidence. And I think this team has lost its mojo, has lost its confidence. And as long as Toronto, the Rock, play a disciplined game like they've been playing recently, good defense, tight defense, get some decent goaltending, and spread the offense around, Buffalo is toast. They won't have a chance. And I'm not saying that other than just because I really believe that this is a team that's struggling to find their confidence. Now, you can't give that team a chance again. Toronto can't give that team a chance to garner any kind of confidence during the game, because even the smallest kind of confidence, when you don't have any, can be built on. Gary?
I agree. The one and done thing is so important, that you get a quick start, you keep it moving, your feet are always going forward, your team is always going forward. Because any momentum swing, and you can find yourself on the floor looking upward, and then that's the end of that. With everything firing in all cylinders for either team, I think Toronto has the edge. Goaltending is this, you know, I like Cosmo, and he, if he didn't set a record, he was close to it, because I think he had 160 or 170 more saves than the next person in the league. So the problem wasn't with him. We talked about Buffalo and dumb penalties, and that got the better of them in the second half. But a lot of that has to do with age. And going 8-2 to start the season, everybody was fresh. As the season wore on, as the players wore out, as they were getting slower, as the other teams were getting themselves into top shape, Buffalo found themselves to be a step slower. So they started holding, and they started doing other things. And it
well, the
started...
things that Aaron predicted. Those are the things that Aaron predicted from day one that would be their downfall. It just took a long time for Buffalo to establish that Aaron knew what he was talking about.
It took a little while for the beast to die, I think, is what we're trying to say.
Well, yeah, and the other thing was Buffalo was rolling, absolutely rolling, until they met Edmonton. And I don't know if somebody didn't do their homework, but Buffalo was completely shut down as badly as Rochester shut him down 2 weeks ago. And they were shut down to a point that they were never the same since then. So obviously that game and Edmonton in their own right got into their heads. Because at that point on, if you can say, well, I wish I could find a moment where that was the moment. That was the linear moment where that team entirely Jekyll and Hyde'd. Or in this case, Jekyll and hid. Because
Jekyll and ran.
They were nowhere to be found from that point on. And eight losses later, they still, you know, I keep hearing things, well, Buffalo, their offense started coming up and they scored this many goals against Matt Mintz last week. Well, Rochester was playing for nothing. And the only reason they were close was because Rochester let them be close, because they weren't going to get themselves hurt. So I don't take a whole lot of stock into that game, other than even when Rochester had nothing to play for, Rochester still beat Buffalo. So as long as Toronto keeps their heads about them and Toronto doesn't take stupid penalties and they keep moving the ball and their defense is playing like they have been playing, I don't see Buffalo doing anything. Now, again, you have guys like Tavares. You have guys like Steinhaus. You have guys like Smith. You have a number of players there who are old, wily veterans and know how it's done. So it's not just saying that it's going to be a walk in the park, as it won't be. It's going to be a muck-around, physical game. And as long as Toronto doesn't do anything dumb, they should wind up on top.
Gotcha. All right. Do you want to – why don't we go through how the players have been doing? We'll go through the stats. And these, of course, don't exist.
Yep, they changed it all up again. There's no points leaders, no goals leaders, no assist leaders. I can't even – oh, hold on. Click on regular season statistics right at the top of the page there.
now you're sounding like my wife, and whenever she says stuff to me, I don't. Where is it?
Okay, when you click on stats, it's going to pull up that blank page. Right underneath the word statistics in the top left, it's going to say 2014 regular season statistics.
2014 leaders. I got. Is that the
there
same
you go.
Thing?
Yep.
That's the same thing.
That's
okay.
To pull up the regular season stats.
So we
there
get just applaud that Mr. Jameson is there on the top.
Followed by
go.
Sean Evans, Garrett Billings, who still missed the last, what, five games of the season and is still in
yeah,
third.
Yeah, he was
100.
Only about 6 points or 7 points behind.
7 points behind. 7 points behind.
Followed by Dan Dawson with 91 and John Grant Jr. tied with 91 points each. So not really a surprise there. Cody had been coming on strong. He's always been a very, very strong player. So I'm glad to see he finally took the regular season league. Sean Evans has been dynamite. The majority of what he does is assists, but he also, you know, he's also a healthy contributor when it comes to offense. So he's right up there as well. I'm glad to see that. Garrett Billings, not a surprise. Everybody expected Garrett to still be up there. I'm still amazed that Dawson and Grant didn't catch him, but you know they would have had to have had monster last weeks in order to get there. So,
well, the both of them.
And you can only imagine
points,
how many points Garrett Billings would have had by the end of the year if he was healthy for the year.
Yeah.
Mind you, though, and all love to Garrett Billings, but I think Rock fans would like to say, you know, let's leave it the way it is because we like the scenario as it's playing out. So let's not fool with the success story. And the success story doesn't include Garrett. Not that it couldn't, but it doesn't. And I think that a lot of you know, it's the perfect storm scenario. You know, Garrett Billings, a great player. But it motivated the one factor that, you know, scoring can't overcome. What scoring can't overcome is teamwork. As we talk about these points leaders and stuff, you know, a team that plays together can overcome any great player if they play together. So, you know, the numbers are numbers, you know, and championships are won not because you score more points, but more or less that you play better as a team. But it's fun going through these statistics because it gives us something to look at and to admire some of the play of some of the players. Now, it doesn't mean that you lose automatically if you have a guy who leads the league in scoring, because that's not true. You know, we know that's not true. So in the goal-scoring department, we have 51.
Well, here was something great because there was a record set this time around.
Dane Doby had 51 goals.
And that's the new record for goals in a season.
There you go. And Stephon LeBlanc came close, 45. Curtis Dixon, 44. John Grant Jr., ahead of teammate Adam Jones, 40 for and 39, respectively. What
but
a Stephon year
Stephon LeBlanc,
Dane
that
Doby.
Was his best showing ever. And after a couple of mediocre seasons, it's great to see him firing on all cylinders. And he had to pick up the slack when Billings went down, him and Hellier both. And they both did it admirably.
Any surprises in the goal-scoring department for you, Aaron?
Dane Doby has been a pleasant surprise. I wasn't expecting him to be all the way up there. I know he's prolific and he scores in bunches. I wasn't expecting that, but Calgary's got to be very gratified with that. Stephon LeBlanc finally outdoes himself. I'm really happy he's bettered his totals. It's a new personal best for him. What surprised me, though, I think, is that John Grant didn't have more goals. I kind of expected him to be up there with Stephon LeBlanc and Dane, but for the time being, I'll take him sitting where he's sitting. I don't have a problem with that because it means Stephon's in second place.
There you
so
go.
If he hadn't, I don't think if John Grant hadn't had such a sluggish start, he probably would have been ahead of Stephon LeBlanc. So, you know, be that as it may, I'll take it right now.
Works for everybody involved.
Exactly.
And we were talking earlier about the Raptors. It's now a game. It's only an 8-point lead now, guys.
Oh, geez.
There you go. Doing it the hard way, as usual.
Oh, well, yeah. Nobody's ever done easy, right?
Not Toronto, no.
The runner assist leader, 79, Sean Evans.
Now, I'm a little bit surprised because I kind of expected Jeff Shotland to be up there too because he's been a great playmaker all season. He's been a great assist getter for the Roughnecks.
But Evans is always there. He's always the playmaker there.
Yeah.
Everything runs through him there.
Dan Dawson and Cody Jamison of the Rochester Nighthawks with 72 apiece. And there's Garrett Billings in the top five with 69. And Callum Crawford.
Stay with me now.
There.
69,
so
dude. Sorry, had to go back to the 80s there, Frank.
Okay. The loose ball, as far as the assists are concerned, we said everybody expects Sean Evans to be a runner, loose balls leader. Jeff Snyder with 209. This is an area where the Rock haven't been that strong, and they do need to overcome this deficit, if you will, in cornering loose balls. But still, championships are won in more ways than one, and this is just one. But one has to applaud Jeff Snyder at 209, Jordan McIntosh at 204, Jay Thorenberg at 191, Brody Merrill at 189, Jeremy Thompson at 165. A good bunch of players. The Snyders are all over the place as far as the leaders in stats, and they're well worth it. They're two dynamite players, aren't they?
Oh,
they are.
They're
fantastic.
Wonderful.
Snyder's always been a wizard when it comes to faceoffs, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts to take over Scoop's position when it comes to loose ball leader. He's one of those players where the ball just seems to be attracted to his stick and doesn't like to leave once it's there. So,
yeah, full value.
Definitely full value.
Face-off win leaders is, of course, Jeff Snyder again and his brother Bob Snyder right behind him with 279. Jay Thorenberg, Jeremy Thompson, and Dylan Evans complete the top five. Let's move to the runner penalty minutes leaders. And, of course, Andrew Suter with 73, Matt Beers with 70, Steve Priolo, 65, Billy Hostrauser with 55, and Scott Johnson with 50. Two of the top five are Rock players. Did they change their attitude as far as toughness is concerned later in the season? As they would say in the Army, hell yeah. To the hell yeah.
I think so. They weren't being pushed around. Nobody was being pushed around. He had Hostrauser in there for that, and he filled in the role very, very good. He was very admirable at it. Whether win or lose, nobody was going to take any cheap shots on any of our players without having to pay for it.
Power play goals leaders, John Grant Jr. with 15, Jeff Shatler with 12, Stefan LeBlanc with 11, Dane Doby with 11, Jordan Hall with 10. Power play, not a real big factor in lacrosse, even though it's as tough. Well, in relation to how tough the sport is, there really aren't that many penalties when you think about it.
No, and when they do tend to get penalties, it's multiples. The only reason that you're going to see Hostrauser, Johnston, and Priolo up there is because in the last game that Toronto played, those guys picked up 2 and 10s.
There you go.
But the other thing that it doesn't mention for power play goals is that rounding out tied for fifth is Jordan Hall, Colin Doyle, and Reese Dutch. So that's Philadelphia, Toronto, and Vancouver. Those three guys are all tied in fifth place for 10 power play goals apiece. So.
There you go.
Yep.
Now the Raptors game with 3 minutes to go is tied.
Oh. Runner.
That was a 26-point lead that went sideways.
There you go. Runner, shots on goal leaders, 188, John Grant Jr., Stephon LeBlanc with 185. Reese Dutch with 174, Dane Doby with 169, Mark Matthews 167.
And again, this is a case where the more you shoot, the more goals you're going to get. You know, John Grant Jr. is up there, Dane Doby is up there, Stefan LeBlanc is up there. All of these guys that have a lot of shots on goals are guys that have a lot of goals as well. Funny how that works, eh?
Amazingly. Runner force turnovers leaders, 61, Kyle Rubish with 61, Tyle Garrison with 36. Rubish, a big lead on everybody else. Steve Priolo, 31, Andrew Suter, 31, Jeff Cornwall, 29.
No, and it's this ability to force turnovers that makes Rubish a valuable asset.
And the goaltender wins leaders, 15, Aaron Bold, Matt Vince with 12, Mike Poulin with 12, Anthony Cosmo with 8, Dylan Ward with 7. Goaltenders were the key. The one name that isn't up there that made a big difference this season was Miller, who didn't play much all year, but played a key role in moving the Rock into the playoffs and a home team to boot.
He was big when it counted. So
goaltender
while he may not have the most wins on there, he was definitely instrumental in getting the Rock to the position that they're currently in.
Goaltender goals against average leaders, 8.73 Aaron Bold, Matt Vince 9.56, Anthony Cosmo 10.77, Tyler Carlson, who made a move, as you can see, late in the season, 11.32. He was the guy that I was hoping the Rock would trade for at the beginning of this year if they could get him. Mike Poulin, 11.45.
No real surprises there. I mean, the team with the best win-loss record in the league has obviously the team with the goalie with the best goals against average. The second-place team in the league, Matt Vince, he's their goalie, so that works out very well. Cosmo is up there mainly because he saw a hell of a lot of rubber. He actually set the saves record this season, most saves in the season, that's 752. That eclipsed the previous mark by, I think, about 40 saves. So he's seen a heck of a lot of rubber, but he's full value for what they pay for him. So his average of 10.77 is stellar based on the number of shots that he's actually faced.
Goaltender saves, Anthony Cosmo, 752, Mike Poulin, 602, a lot less, Matt Vince, 595, Dylan Ward, 592, Aaron Bold, 558. An amazing difference at the very top, I think, gives one an indication of how busy Anthony Cosmo has been and how difficult it has been for him to pull out some wins at the end of this year, maybe getting a little too busy.
Well, with him making that many saves and Buffalo still losing, that just shows you how many shots he's facing.
There you go.
He's literally at 60 a night or better. And you can
got to wear him out.
You know,
got to wear him out.
But you know, for him to have a 10.5 goals against average, I think that's still spectacular.
Fantastic.
And kudos to him. If he had any defense whatsoever in front of him, who knows what it could be.
Okay, guys, everyone remember, Toronto at 7 Eastern Time, I believe Calgary at Eastern Time, 9 o'clock. The semifinals begin, of course, Colorado in Calgary, Buffalo in Toronto, and Rochester and Edmonton will be waiting to see who the winners are. It'll be a great finale for the season for those four teams. They get an opportunity to make it to their respective Eastern and Western Division Finals. Guys, some final words on the playoffs coming up. You first, Gary.
I think it's going to be spectacular. If you have a chance to see it live, please do. If not, again, YouTube's going to cover it. Hopefully TSN will too, but that all depends on the hockey playoffs.
Wait and see.
It will be spectacular to see. You're going to see some of the finest lacrosse going, and this is all for all the marbles. Now is a chance to really take a look at it.
Aaron, how about you?
This is going to be a playoff game, I believe, for the ages. You have two teams that absolutely hate each other. The Buffalo is going to be coming off a long string of losses and looking for a touch of redemption. And Toronto's definitely going to have to be all hands on deck if they want to make sure that they advance to the next weekend to play against Rochester. So this is going to be a game. There's going to be a lot of tension. There's going to be a lot of hitting. There's going to be a lot of guys pulling out every single stop they possibly can. So if you can't, like Gary says, if you can see it live, please come out because it's going to be awesome. if you can't, again, you can always catch it on YouTube. So hopefully we'll see some of you at the game or at the post-game party. Look for us on the Toronto Rock Roadies jerseys, and we'd love to see you guys there.
Well, when it comes to pregame, during game, and postgame, I'll be there for all three. It's just a question of where and when, and it'll be a lot of fun going there at all times. Whenever you get to go to a lacrosse game, it's not just about the game. It's about the party before and after, and if you decide to go, you'll have a really good time. That's one promise I can make to you no matter where you are. And right now it comes down to only four cities that are going to have the opportunity to do that. And, of course, it all begins this weekend, the playoffs in the National Lacrosse League, with the Toronto Rock being visited by the Buffalo Bandits and, of course, the Calgary Roughnecks at home to the Colorado Mammoth. While both the champions for the season wait, Rochester Nighthawks in the East, Edmonton Rush in the West, it is going to be a great end to the season. Enjoy it as much as you can, folks. We're going to take our leave now because I don't want to listen to Gary cry while the Raptors lose and or Aaron, you know,
winning by
reciting
three
all
the
no, reciting all it. Reciting all the news about the lovable addicted mayor. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll hope to see you again next week. That'll be Wednesdays. It is, of course, Candid Frank Live's Lacrosse Talk. And when we talk lacrosse, right now we talk National League lacrosse. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks, Gary, and thanks, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
Good night, Frank.